Mace Finnegan and Donick, 102.5 The Game, broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Finnegan, and David Janes here with you. I hope everybody is having a wonderful Tuesday. Let's talk L'Jarius Sneed. We wondered if L'Jarius Sneed would even suit up this season. Willie Donick asked a question to that effect in his critical 10 Titans questions. Well, L'Jarius Sneed did suit up.
He's one for one.
He is one for one this season. He did play against the Denver Broncos, albeit he played, at least according to the NFL, 19 snaps against the Broncos, all of which came in the first half. Now, L'Jarius Sneed was interviewed after the game, and he seemed to be confused about the lack of playing time. Here was L'Jarius Sneed after the game in Denver.
A bit more, a little bit less, how'd it go?
Yeah, you got to talk to the coaches about that. On their behalf, I don't have no control of that.
You didn't play at all coming out of the second half? Like, did you tweak anything? Or coming out of the first half?
Rather, tweaking today. I'm good. It's the coach's decision.
Okay. Did you know that coming in, that you were kind of going to be on a pitch count?
Pitch count? Yeah, but I didn't know it was going to go the way it went.
Just disappointed about that?
Very.
Did you want to go back out there at all? Did you say anything to them?
Yes, I did. But it's okay. I'm a team player, you know.
How'd you feel when you did play?
I felt great. Okay.
Think you can offer more?
Definitely. I wanted to offer more.
How hard was it to sit on the sideline and just watch the result?
It wasn't hard, you know. I was watching my brothers compete, you know. We didn't come out on the W side, you know. That's what, you know, everybody in here is feeling.
So that was L'Jarius Sneed after the game.
I'm fascinated by this.
Okay.
Tell us why. Well, what did he say? When they asked him, did you know you're going to be on a pitch count? He said, yes, but, I couldn't make out what he said, but I.
David, can we play it again?
Just that one little clip. It's hard.
I'll
it's
tell
very
you
hard
to, stop,
to hear.
But we'll play it again.
But I didn't know it was going to go the way it went.
I didn't know it was going to be a what?
There. I didn't know it was going to go the way it went.
Go the way it went.
Yes.
Uh-huh. See, now that's interesting to me because, D-Mace, I know you are queued up for your communication lecture, which you've been saying for a long time, that the Titans bungle all the time. The communication. I agree. Now, that having said that, let's take what he said and put it aside just for a second. I get the pitch count thing. I think that was a modern sports science thing. Would you rather have him not play? Or would you rather play him for whatever they decided before the game, 20 snaps or whatever it was? They played 19. I've heard this thrown out there by some people. Well, why didn't they space it out over the course of the game?
That was me during the commercial break.
Well, but a lot of people have said that, and it's a good question. It's a good question because in a perfect world, you'd love to maybe save some of the snaps for when the game's on the line. But I'll equate it to a baseball rehab assignment. Like Rhys Hoskins for the Nashville Sounds. He just got called back up by the Brewers. When you go on a rehab assignment, you start off by, you just DH. Mm-hmm. You don't play in the field. Then they ramp you up. You're going to play three, you're going to DH, and you're going to play three innings in the field. Then you're going to play a full game. Then you're going to take a day off, and then you come back and play two games in a row. They ramp you up. But most of this is done at the minor league level. There are no minor leagues in football. So it's like, do you want Sneed out there at all before he's really, in their mind, ready to play a full game? He's a major, major injury risk. So when you do a rehab assignment, they don't say, hey, Willie, pitch the first inning and then go sit down for a while. And then so we want you to pitch three innings. Pitch the first inning and then come back in the game in the eighth or the ninth. Like, you don't want to ramp the guy up full speed and then have him cool down and rest, and then ramp him back up. That is a major way to up the risk of re-injury for him. And I know he's made of porcelain, and, you know, let's put the bubble wrap on him. I know he's a major risk. We knew that going in. But I had no problem with the decision to do that. What I cannot understand is that he didn't apparently know that that's what they were going to do. That doesn't make any sense.
Before Derek answers that question, let's hear from Brian Callahan yesterday on his explanation on the L'Jarius Sneed pitch count.
Can you explain the necessity of the pitch count with L'Jarius? And yeah. What exactly is the benefit of saving him at this point in the year when the game's capped out?
It's not really about saving him per se. It's about the loading coming off an injury and very limited practice time. And when you've practiced for a really short amount of time, you know, we track all the GPS volumes and all the work that he's gotten in. And, you know, he had worked up to a particular volume that we felt comfortable where you're not pushing past that strain. And there was a cap put on that. And look, it's frustrating. It's a frustrating thing for guys when they get ready to go play in a game. That's not easy for them to do. That's not something that is usually very smooth at the end of the day. Because once they get in that mode to go play, they want to play. But organizationally, from a health standpoint, over the course of time, over the course of 17 games, you put yourself at risk when you just go in there to a game and you play 65 plays. The risk of injury, especially soft tissue, goes way up. And that was part of the thought process in that was that, you know, we're going to build the load back up because he hadn't had a lot of practice time in between. So would have loved to see him play more, certainly. And I think he's going to keep building into that ability to play for an entire game with the limited work he's had up until this point.
Will he be able to do that as early as next week, do you think, or will it take maybe another –
We're going to see. We're going to see how practice goes. We'll increase his load in practice again this week. He'll go more. He'll practice with more reps and more volume, and we'll see what that looks like by the end of the week, and we'll make a determination for the game. And that's, you know, that's a collective determination is made between all of us, you know, training room, Mike, myself, and we try to do what's best for the player for the long term at the end of the day.
So that was Brian Callahan's explanation. Derek, your thoughts on all of this?
I just think it was just a lack of situational communication.
What we have here is a failure to
communicate. Yeah, it's a lack of situational communication on, and y'all going to be shocked to hear this, on L'Jarius Sneed. I said situational communication. Communication between he and the reporter. Situational. They don't need to know all of that stuff. They don't need to know.
He threw him under the bus.
Yeah, you threw him under. That's why I said, and that goes to the bigger communication with he and the head coach, or he and the defensive coordinator. You know, he has to learn. See, I think this is where some players get in trouble because they want to control the narrative so much that they release information that shouldn't be released. At all. I didn't need to know all of that other stuff. All I needed to know, or I needed to tell you was, hey, listen, I was on a pitch count, and, you know, that's the way it was. I probably could have played a little bit more, but we had already decided it was on a pitch count. Well, did you know you weren't going to? Listen, the coach had already decided this is how many plays I was going to play, and I'm sure we were close to those plays, or we were right at those plays. I don't need to say that other stuff. You're right. You're letting him behind the curtain. You're letting people behind the curtain when they don't need to go behind the curtain. L'Jarius, you've done that before with the when you were at your he was doing his charity event somewhere, and he talked about not being here and all this other stuff. I'm ready to go, and I'm as healthy as I could be, and all this other stuff. Some of this stuff that the players, I mean, we don't need to know. Reporters don't need to know. Yeah, they're going to ask the questions. They are supposed to ask those questions. But again, I was taught long time ago as a young player, take a deep breath, compose yourself, think about what you're going to say, because Willian and Adam ain't going nowhere. They ain't. They're going to stay here until I get that, answer their question. Take a deep breath and then answer the question. Think about it and then answer the question. I would, some days it would take me a minute. Like, I'm just sitting in my locker thinking, like, man, okay. And then I give you an answer. Ain't nothing wrong with that. That's where L'Jarius Sneed is at fault. Your situational communication with the wrong people. Yeah, what you said probably was 100% right.
You can say all day,
I would have loved to have been
exactly.
out
there. But
I want to compete. But this is what we decided. The organization thinks that this is the best thing for me right now.
Exactly. I know I play more as we move forward. But as of now, they said I was on a pitch count, and I played that amount of plays, and that's the way it was. Now, I am surprised with this. That last series, because Legarius Sneed had played the series before. And that last series, that is a critical series. You see what's happening. You done already made a blunder, Callahan. You done already made a blunder by throwing three straight pass plays. And I'm not going to say they were all your fault, but you should have tried to run the football. Calvin Ridley, you need to know what to do on one of those screens. Moore, you need to learn how to damn block. They give you enough money. I expect y'all to get better in the next game. But that's critical. That's one of those critical moments in games. We all talk about critical plays. Coaches preach about critical plays. One or two critical plays, we got to have them. That was a critical series. You had already blundered the series prior on offense, and then y'all blundered the series on defense by not putting your best cover guy out there. I know he probably was at the point of the load management. We're right at that 25 plays. But you're inside the red zone. You need your best cover guys out. And they went right at your weakest link.
They did.
So if I have this right.
That's a fair second guess, I think.
His final snap of the game came with 59 yes. seconds left in the second quarter.
So he's warm.
He's warmed
up. His body's going. Yeah.
The touchdown pass was thrown with 16 seconds left in the
That's
second
what
quarter.
I'm saying.
Well, it was only the second play of that drive, right? Because they got the
exactly.
interference on yes. Brownlee. And
on Brownlee, and then they threw the touchdown.
We'll get to Jarvis Brown.
So he would have played, you know, two to five more plays.
Exactly.
And it's arbitrary whether 19 plays or 23. You're still in that range yes. of you're on the pitch count, and you could have. But
I want my best players out there.
That's a fair point. That is a fair point.
I want my best players out there in a critical situation. It is not like it was at the end of the game and he had been out the whole second half. And then, okay, I can get with that part because he hadn't been playing. And I just don't want to throw a guy in there that's already prone to injuries and he's a little bit banged up. I don't want to throw him back out there after he's already been sitting an hour and a half in football time. In real time, he's been sitting an hour and a half. So I don't want to throw him back out there. But he had just finished the drive before on defense. Why not throw him back out there? You just blundered the offensive series. Then all of y'all doubled down and blundered the defensive series. And that's where.
And also, by the way, Brownlee's pass interference was a terrible call. That
yeah, it was terrible.
So that didn't help. That put him in a tough spot.
We'll talk about Brownlee in the next segment. But I think there was an example of Brownlee getting away with a call that should have been pass interference. So it works both ways. I'll save this for when we talk about Brownlee. But I want to point out something that Nick Suss wrote at the Tennessean and see if you guys agree. He says, quote, given the pre-planned decision to limit Sneed's reps, the way the Titans' depth chart was organized for the Broncos game was a bit of a puzzler. They didn't activate Jalen Armour-Davis or Samuel Womack III, both of whom were waiver claims. The two cornerbacks the teams picked up off of waivers. That's what I just said. That meant for most of the game, including the entire second half, the Titans operated with just four cornerbacks available.
They must not have felt like those guys were ready.
Yeah, ready to play.
The only thing I could think of.
They had to be ready from a schematic standpoint.
Didn't Wilson kind of put that out there during the week that it was going to take a little bit for
them? Yeah,
because
they had to learn the defense and at least get the basics down of the defense. But even that, I mean, I get it. The way you probably had to make sure you kept an extra offensive lineman or somebody else and you just couldn't afford to have that extra DB. Hooker can double as your slot guy. He has enough covering ability to do that. But my thing is, he had just finished the series before. He was still warm, adrenaline still going. This is a critical moment of the game. You're in the red zone with a team that seemed to have a little bit of momentum after they had stopped you. You took one blunder and you added another on top of it. Now, you can blame everybody for that one. You can blame the medical people for that one. Stop using damn analytics, man. Watch the damn game. That's sometimes, and I didn't mean to get on this rant, but I am. Sometimes you lose too much damn analytics, okay? Watch the game.
Nerds. Watch the game, nerds.
We monitor him the whole game, and his pitch count was this, and we knew it. And no, look at the game. Watch and see your player. Understand. All right, yeah, he may be at 27, and yeah, we may have ran. He may be running hot just a tad bit. Not really. Let's say running orange right now. He's running orange. But, man, this is the series before the half, and we got to have a play. We got to make sure they don't score.
So I got to put
my defensive guy out there.
Do you think when they force the punt with 47
Stop
seconds?
Stop using analytics all the time. I'm not okay. against analytics. Okay. I love y'all, too, when y'all use them. Well, but stop using damn analytics and stop making that as a damn excuse for not having your number one corner out there when he needs to be out there, okay? And Sneed. Learn how to use situational communication, brother. That's all. I'm not mad at you. Played a hell of a game for the time that you played, and I'm glad. And I hopefully, moving forward, you're going to play more, which means the Titans' defense is going to be even better. From what I saw the last game, you're getting to that point where you're being back to the Jerry Sneed that we saw in Kansas City. But, listen, watch your players, Bearcat, Brian Callahan. Watch them. Throw that analytics out the door for a minute. Don't be so nerdy. I love nerds, though. But don't be so damn nerdy, man. Get the analytics out of here. I love y'all, too, though.
Let me ask you a question.
I love analytics.
I love analytics, but in that situation.
Watch the game, nerds.
Let me give you a possible way that this went, because I agree with you. A pitch count. Like, let's play it to where it literally applies. If a pitcher in a baseball game is on a pitch count, if you're generally saying he's going to throw 50 pitches, but he's got two outs in the inning, and he gets to pitch 50, and the count's 0-1, you're not going to take the guy out. He's going to finish the batter, right? Or you're going to finish the inning. Either one, depending on how strict you want to be. But you're not going to go exactly. Here's what I wonder. When they force the punt that back the Titans up into that situation where, okay, you've got the ball with 47 seconds left, what are you going to do? Do you think at that point they went to Sneed and say, that's it? Because they probably didn't figure that the Broncos would get the ball back at the end of the half. I don't know if they did that or not.
No. What you're saying, I believe in their minds, they thought, okay, the series prior to the blundered series that the Titans had, that this was going to be it. We ain't going to have to go back on the field. So
and they were like, oh, man, they're coming back out here. We're in trouble. Legarius, I know we just told you you're done.
But I don't think they went to Legarius. I don't think they went to him. I'm not sure if they went.
I'm just wondering.
I'm not going to say 100% they didn't go to him. But I would tend to believe the way that went down, I don't think they went to Legarius Sneed. And I could be wrong here, but I don't think they went to Legarius Sneed and say, give us another series. I think they had already made up their mind. He is done for today.
They wanted to get him out of there feeling good.
And that should have been a situation.
Which is tempting to leave him in there. Like, oh, he feels good. Just keep him out there.
But that would have been a great situation to say, give me the analytics. Let's just put down the analytics for a minute. Not throw them away, but let's put them down for a minute.
Derek is snapping the Microsoft Surface tablet over his knee
How does he look? Okay, he looks good. Put him back out there. Put him, because this is the last year. Let's finish the half. Put him back out there. And then after half, pick up your analytics book and use it again. That's all.
Try to fix the Microsoft Surface tablet you just smashed in half and get back to
it. Get some duct tape out.
615-737.
Gorilla glue.
Yes. Fixes everything. 615-737-1025. Watch the game, nerds. We'll continue this conversation coming up next. I also want to touch on Jarvis Brownlee. Denard Wilson also discussed Jarvis Brownlee today and his propensity for penalties. We'll discuss that coming up next. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, 1025 The Game.
I want him to play with the tenacity that he plays with. I want him to play hard, but the penalties must stop. At the end of the day, you know, we have to clean it up. And, you know, I've been raised with the thought if you allow it to happen, it's not good. So we've addressed it. We're going to keep working on him getting his hands down at the top of the route, not grabbing, okay? And then understanding when is the point to take your hands off of receivers, right? At the beginning of the stage, yes, be violent with your hands, move your feet. But as they start to go in the move area, we got to drop our hands. So it will be addressed. We will do things throughout the course of the week to correct it. But the penalties are, they aren't acceptable. And obviously it hurt us in the game.
That was Titans defensive coordinator Denard Wilson on Jarvis Brownlee, who committed three penalties on Sunday, one illegal contact, one DPI, one face mask. His three penalties led all defensive players in the NFL in week one. And if L'Jarius Sneed is going to be on a pitch count, that means more responsibility for Jarvis Brownlee. And Jarvis Brownlee, as Denard Wilson just said, has to stop taking penalties. And here is what I was going to say in the previous segment that I saved. To use something that I talk about a lot in hockey, Willie. Whenever a player on a hockey team gets called for a penalty and you can argue about, hey, that was a bad call, my go-to is do not put yourself in position for the referee to make that call on you. And that's what I think about with Jarvis Brownlee, because as you said, you believe one of the defensive pass there was only one defensive pass interference call on Brownlee. It was a bad call. Now, I believe there was a non-call that probably should have been a call.
But they let a lot go. Like, I thought they let some contact go. It's always interesting how the game is being called as a part of the context, I think.
But with Brownlee, he continues to put himself in position to have these penalties called on him. And I like Denard Wilson's response there. He did not mince words about Jarvis Brownlee needing to clean up the penalties. And by the way, doesn't get much easier for the Tennessee Titans this weekend. Puka Nacua against the Houston Texans on Sunday, 10 catches on 11 targets for 130 yards.
He got hit so hard twice in the helmet in one play. I don't know how he didn't get he had blood coming down from his head. I don't know how he wasn't concussed, but he's a heck of a player.
I'm sure
but
he was.
On Brownlee, though, I still believe that because he's a young player, I'm going to give it time. I like the aggressiveness. You've got to just harness it. But I think the problem is, like you said, Adams, he's got a reputation, and they're looking for it. Like, if he keeps doing the same thing, he doesn't get the benefit of the doubt. Hopefully, if he can survive long enough and learn a little bit along the way, he'll start to get the benefit of the doubt. For example, let's look at the other side of the ball. There was a really interesting series of three plays. The first one was the IO Manor elbow in that they didn't challenge. That could have been pass interference. They didn't call it. The second one was Patrick Surtain over the top of Calvin Ridley's back on 2nd and 20. Clearly interference. But he got the benefit of the doubt because he's Patrick Surtain, who does get penalized a lot, by the way. But Calvin Ridley's looking around going, that was pass interference. That would have been an automatic first down. He went through his back. His head bobbed before the ball got there. Textbook. But it's bang, bang. But it's Surtain. Gets the benefit. And then the next play is Iron Man are down the other sideline. A catchable ball. A lot of contact. They let it go. No call. So all of that in the context of Brownlee. Brownlee doesn't get the benefit of the doubt because they go in and they look at the numbers. He's young and he got penalized a lot last year. And he'd already been flagged, what, twice? At least once before that PI happens.
He had
the end
two
of the
flags
half.
On him.
It was illegal contact first.
Yeah. He had the one DPI, where he grabbed the side of the helmet.
Then DPI, then face mask.
So he had three.
In that order.
He had three penalties.
So the illegal contact is another one where, you know, if ask Peyton Manning if he thought the Patriots got away with some illegal contact. You know, it's always a feel. You have to get a feel for how the game's being called. You also have to know when you're circled as a guy that is going to get no benefit of the doubt. And that's where he is in his career right now.
Is he a good player, I believe? Does he have talent? Let's say that. Good player doesn't necessarily, you know, have the talent that Brownlee has. From a talent standpoint, he is a talented individual. The problem here is that he's not confident in his talent to play that position without grabbing. Basically, that's what it is. And Denard Wilson understands that. But he understands, too, that we can only allow this to happen so many times. Because he went short of saying if we either we are allowing it to happen or we coaching to allow it to happen. He kind of stopped himself at the end. It was like, and he said something else. But he's either you are coaching, you are allowing it to happen in practice, which happens in a game, or you're coaching it. One of the two. And I would tend to say he's not coaching the grabbing part. The defensive back coach is not coaching grabbing. He has everything that Brownlee is doing right now is has to do with a lack of trust. A lack of trust in his ability to play this game. A lack of trust in his ability to drop his hips. A lack of trust in his ability to turn his hips. A lack of trust in his ability, his speed to run down the field with an individual. That's what happened when you start grabbing and pulling at guys at the top of their route. Because you don't think, or you're out of position, or you don't trust that you can turn your hips good enough that you gotta, that you don't need to grab them. He's at a point right now that, and I've seen this happen, and I'm not going to say with who, but I've seen it happen. Put some mittens on him in practice. Put mittens on him. He can't grab anybody then. He can't. No, seriously. Yep. These are the things that you got to do.
Are we talking oven mitts here?
I'm talking about just mittens, like
winter
no mittens.
No fingers
where I can't grab. No, and we were laughing, but these are some of the things that I've seen done.
Fair enough.
With guys that have a problem with reaching out and grab. They're in phase with them. We talked last year, and Teron talked about it ad nauseum. How he was in phase a lot last year. He would be it. So that's the ability to cover. Trust that part. Now trust that you can drop your hips and get in and out of a break. You've done it plenty of times working out. You've done it plenty of times in practice. You get in the game, and it's almost like you just don't really trust that part of your game. Now, I understand there's going to be some back and forth grabbing and boxing and trying to jostle for position. I get that part. But when you have this rep already of grabbing and holding people, you have to find a way not to do that. That's where Denard Wilson comes in and the defensive backs coach comes in. How can we find a way for you to trust what you see, for one? Trust the route combinations, because that's a part of it. Trust the route combination. But more importantly, trust your ability to play this position with your feet. Because that's what defensive back is about. They don't expect you to catch everything, because that's why you're a defensive back, because you couldn't play wide receiver, okay? That's the joke. But they believe that you have enough ability to stop, get out of transition, get into transition, get out of it, and knock the ball down. If you catch it, that's a bonus. That's like, yes, you caught it. But you need to be in phase. And he's always in phase, but he needs to trust. Even while in phase, when a receiver breaks down or you're right there, there's no need to grab. So Denard Wilson and anybody else over there, put some mittens on that young man. It's during the whole practice. Allow him to play with mittens for a whole week and see if that translates to the game.
And Willie, one point to make as well. Jarvis Brownlee was thrown right into the fire before anybody, including himself.
Because they believed in him.
Well,
and they didn't have anybody else.
And they didn't have anybody else. L'Jarius Sneed was injured. Chido Bay Awuzie. Remember Chido Bay Awuzie? I may even be pronouncing his name incorrectly.
They still got to believe in you to throw you out there.
But they really had no other choice.
They could have went and got somebody else if they wanted to.
I mean, Daryl Baker was thrown in there the other day. Four catches allowed on four targets for 46 yards, including the touchdown to Cortland Sutton. If Sneed can't play, the Titans are down bad at that position. We talked about that all offseason, and you saw it firsthand on Sunday. But Brownlee,
unless the waiver wire guys are helpful, that's a wild card right now.
Yes. So, but to my point, Willie, is that Brownlee was thrust into a position that the Titans, at the beginning of last season, probably did not expect him to play. But Sneed was unavailable, Awuzie was unavailable, and Brownlee was next man up with Jake Lyman. So he's learning on the fly here, and you're seeing what happens when you thrust a young player into a position he may not be completely ready for, is the point that I'm making.
That's fair, and at the same time, when you're in the mode that I think the Titans are in, I don't know how Amy Adams feels about it because she is in charge, But I feel like Chad Brinker and Mike Borgonzi especially know that this is a rebuild. It is factual. It is not really debatable. And when you're in rebuild mode,
play the kids.
Play the kids.
Well, they said they were going to play the young keep.
And how did Brian Callahan start his Monday press conference? We started four rookies. He wanted to make sure he got that out there before he knew he was going to get barbecued with all the other questions. But he was like, can I just make one point from a PR standpoint here? We're playing a lot of young players.
Disclaimer here.
We're playing a lot of young players. Remember that. But you're hoping to find pieces along the way. And Brownlee's a great example. Is he a guy that can play for a winning team in another year or two? I'm still surprised. Like, Roger McCreary is still not signed past this year, right? Am I wrong about that? Is he,
He is a free agent. Or
restricted free agent at the end of the year?
That may be his upcoming fifth year?
I'm looking right now. His contract ends after this season. He's an unrestricted.
Yeah, after
unrestricted.
This season. So,
this is the end of his rookie contract.
I would think that he has done enough, maybe, you know, break the bank, but wouldn't you rather have him down the road?
But you don't sign him now. You don't. You don't sign him now.
But what if he just says, "Well, I'll just become a free agent." The defensive backs are going to get paid.
They want younger
Christian
players.
Christian Fulton's still in the
league. But they want younger players. I'm not saying. I've said this earlier. I don't think. I'm not saying 100% sure, but I don't think that McQuarrie will be back here next year. This could just be me. I think they're trying to move away from those draft picks. All those draft picks.
From that era.
Yeah, from that era. I see. And they're moving forward.
Wouldn't be
forward.
The first team to do that.
They're just trying to move forward. And I thought McQuarrie played a good game Sunday.
He did.
And it may be, just maybe, if he plays lights out this season, maybe they choose
to sign
him.
They just signed Hooker. Yeah. And so, that surprised me.
But he's more of a veteran. He's that veteran. He's probably the only connection to veteran leadership to that old regime that they're more willing to keep is Amani Hooker.
Henry and Byard and Tannehill.
Yeah, they're all gone. Because he plays so closely with Byard, I think the things that he's learned from Byard, and I think he has become a leader on that defensive side of the ball, and I think he is in that back end that kind of keeps guys together as far as relaying calls to the defense. But with that being said, Brownlee just needs to play better. He does. I'm not going to make no excuses for the young man because I think he's hell of a talent. He's hella talented as a player, and you see it, but you also see this flaw that he has that it seems like he hadn't worked on it in the offseason. It just seems like he hasn't.
And on a team that commits a lot of penalties.
Exactly.
615-737-1025. We will get to your reaction and wrap up the show next with a tradition unlike any other. I trash Bill Belichick.
Yes.
We'll do that coming up next. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, 1025 The Game. D-Mace Vingan and Donick, 1025 The Game. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan here with you on your drive home. If you missed the first hour of the program, I believe it's coming up next. You can hear the replay. So, educate yourselves. And speaking of educating, a couple of weeks ago, I bought a bell, like the kind you see on the desk at a hotel, because I want to make all of you, I want you to feel like you learned something listening to our show, not just about sports, but about vocabulary. So when anybody uses a big word on this show, we ding the bell. Like that. And I wish this texter would have put their name on this, because for the first time, we are going to give the bell to a texter about Jarvis Brownlee. This texter says, Brownlee can be a great corner, but his perfunctoriness when it comes to technique leads to grabbing players. As is, he's just a liability. Ding! Not about him being a liability.
Good vocab.
Yes. Perfunctory, by the way, means carried out with a minimum of effort or reflection.
So like a careless about it.
Indifferent.
Yeah. Not attention to detail.
Apathetic. Along those lines.
Willie, you were right. He changed gloves at halftime. But before half, he had on those damn red gloves, grabbing folks. Stop it. Take off those red gloves. Don't ever wear those red gloves again, Brownlee. Or nobody on the defensive side of the ball, don't wear red gloves, period.
Here's what Derek would do if he were on the coaching staff for the Tennessee Titans.
Outlaw red gloves.
Well, he would take all of the red gloves. He would take all of the Microsoft Surface tablets with the analytics on them, douse them in gasoline, and set them on fire outside of St. Thomas Sports Bar.
No, I douse it with gasoline, let it dry, make sure it works again, and then give it to you. And if you do something crazy on the field, I would take a lighter and just match. Just light it up in flames right there.
Oh, geez.
That's what I would do.
Andrew on our text line says, I have zero issues with Brownlee's penalties. Dude is playing hard. Sure beats the years we watched our cornerbacks play 9 yards off the ball.
And I get that part. But there comes a point of time where you got to learn how to, not be aggressive or not. Because essentially they're hurting your team. I understand what you're saying. Yeah, in the past, the defensive backs would sit back 9 yards and get stuff thrown, right at them and right at the sticks, and nobody was around. I get that part. But I don't want the other extreme either, where the guy is grabbing somebody all the time. I don't want to give up a free 15 or 20 or 30-yard penalty, because essentially that's what it is. They are spot fouls. They are not 5-yard fouls. They are pass interference, which means wherever that ball landed, that's where the ball is going to be placed. So I don't want to see any more 30 unearned games, okay? I don't want to see that anymore. He needs to stop, plain and simple.
And the illegal contact, it could be 3rd and 20, and it's only a 5-yard penalty, but it's an automatic first down. Defensive holding, automatic first down. So it's tough. Life as a DB is not easy, but he's got to make the adjustment.
I think Mark Sanchez said on the broadcast, you have to be a little bit crazy to want to play defensive back.
Yeah, he was saying that and also not paying attention that the guy's elbow was in bounds.
Exactly.
So, Mark, how about – or maybe that was possibly pass interference. Like, he completely ignored the pass interference
in
the contact of all three of those plays, 1st and 20, 2nd and 20, 3rd and 20. It was a really interesting swing sequence in the game.
So, I don't mean to do this.
Yeah, you do.
Yes, you do.
I don't
you
need
definitely
to do this.
No, you've been looking forward
yes,
to this all day.
Yeah.
But I've been doing this a lot. And just to understand, for like 20 years, I didn't care what Bill Belichick did. The New England Patriots, I watched all of the Super Bowls. I paid attention to the NFL. I had no opinion on Bill Belichick. As soon as the man decided to coach at the University of North Carolina, he became public enemy number one. Well, not number one. He's on the list. He's not number one. But when you put on those disgusting colors, you are in my line of sight. So anytime I have an opportunity to rag on Bill Belichick, I am going to do it. So here is a story from Michael Rothstein on ESPN.com. Quote, the U.S. Patent and Trademark Office has refused 4 trademark applications filed by North Carolina football coach Bill Belichick and his companion, Jordan Hudson, saying the phrases they attempted to trademark would cause a, quote, likelihood of confusion, end quote, with previously filed ones. The New England Patriots, Belichick's former employer, hold the rights on the trademarks Belichick and Hudson sought. In April, TCE Rights Management, with Hudson listed as its manager, filed to secure several trademarks, including these 4. Do your job, in parentheses, Bill's version. Ignore the noise, in parentheses, Bill's version. The Belistrator, in parentheses, Bill's version. And no days off, in parentheses, Bill's version. Taking a page out of Taylor Swift's book there. The Patriots trademarked the Belistrator in 2009, Do Your Job in 2013, and both No Days Off and Ignore the Noise in 2017. The patent office released the decisions last week, saying it rejected the request because, quote, it is likely consumers would be confused, mistaken, or deceived as to the commercial source of the goods and or services of the party.
No wonder he doesn't want New England people in his building. No wonder. Oh, the truth is coming out. No wonder Vrabel was like, hey, to my knowledge, he can come. And now I see, Bill, you butthurt, huh?
I'm not ringing the bell for that one. I'm putting that over here. That is not a vocabulary word. But
we all understood what he was
exactly.
We all know what you mean. But if you're, like, let's just say you knew someone like Bill Belichick in your everyday life. And they started dating someone 50 years younger than them. And they started acting way out of character and being petty AF and trying to do things that are just so not like them. Wouldn't you call or text that person and be like, are you okay? Like, is anybody around Belichick? I think Pablo Torre may have reported on this when he had the huge podcast about it. Are people in Bill Belichick's life checking on him? I know his sons are on the coaching staff. They probably don't want to ruffle any feathers. But like someone, like a distant cousin or an uncle, like Bill.
Or a longtime coworker that goes way back, that's known him since the early days.
Right.
I knew you before you were Bill Belichick.
Right. Is somebody calling him and saying, are you okay?
College buddy.
Is something wrong? Derek used the term a series of unfortunate events earlier. That's one way to describe what's going on. But like,
but you love it.
I mean, I don't hate it.
You love the chaos.
I don't hate it.
They won. They won on Saturday. They beat Charlotte.
They sure did.
20-7.
But they lost. They lost because they didn't get those patents.
The game
that
everybody wanted to see. Oh, they saw it all right. But I'm a little worried. I'm a little worried for Bill Belichick.
No, you're not.
I mean,
as long as he wear those colors, you are not worried about
it. By the way,
has the relationship stayed strong through this firestorm of not getting the patents?
Seems like it.
It appears so. By the way, the Tar Heels host the Spiders of Richmond on Saturday.
It's a big one. Don't sleep on the Spiders.
When the Spiders and Tar Heels get together, you throw out the record books.
There's none.
Have they ever played Richmond?
I don't know. I'm sure they have at least once.
Oh, basketball, probably.
Oh, man. Joey from Bellevue says, Brownlee is a liability. Teams will target him. Even the broadcaster said it. Andrew from Dover says, from past experience, you have one pair of white gloves, one pair of black, so they blend into the other team's jerseys.
What about gray?
What did you do?
What about gray?
Me as a receiver, it didn't matter to me. I mean.
That's true.
But still with that, I guess. I don't think I either wore black gloves, purple or white or blue. I don't think I ever wore any like
Were
red
you ever
gloves.
Called for offensive pass interference?
I was. They wasn't the right calls.
They were never the right calls.
No, it wasn't the right call.
But you didn't not enough to get a reputation.
No, not enough to get a reputation. No, not at all.
A lot of Titans players were wearing red gear on Sunday. Yeah. And it was incredibly distracting.
And this has gone on for a couple years. I'm not a fan. I've never been a fan of the added red. I like the two blues working together and maybe a tiny accent of red.
Right.
Too much red.
If anybody else is out there who agrees with me, let me know. 615-737-1025. Cody Barton's arm sleeve.
Too much red. Way too much.
Super distracting. Too much red on each side. I just kept looking at it. I'm like, this doesn't look right.
I think Barton, Arden, Simmons, Baker, Brownlee at one point, he did change after half. But he did it. I was like, he doesn't have him because I was looking more toward the end of the game. But I had to go all the way back. And I'm like, Willie, yeah, he was right. He wore one. So you had about 6 or 7 players wearing some type of red gloves or red sleeve. Stop that.
You heard the man.
Attention to yourself. I know it looks
cool. Get a good
neck
roll and an elbow pad.
Yeah, I know it looks cool. Take off the gloves, man. Put some tape around your hand. Put some dirt on your hand.
Get some stick and less than haze.
Let's go. I'm just messing with y'all, man. But the red gloves, y'all may want to stop wearing those because they do stand out.
On Derek's not list, red gloves and analytics. Things I've learned today. I love analytics.
I love analytics, too.
And I do watch the game when I am a nerd. But that will do it for us today. We will be back tomorrow at 3 o'clock, week 3 of Silly Underdog Picks in the 5 o'clock hour. I'm feeling pretty good.
I know you
are. I'm sure Hal Gill is feeling pretty good as well.
Woo.
But we will.
Why did I even ask Hal to? Nah, it's going to come back to haunt me.
We'll get to that tomorrow in the 5 o'clock hour. We will talk to you tomorrow at 3 o'clock.
Be love on your people. Have a safe, blessed, and wonderful day. I love you. We love you. Peace.